Brothers and sisters, let's open up our Bibles back to the first chapter of John. And praise the Lord, we're going to continue on with more of our beloved bridegroom's voice. Now remember that, our beloved bridegroom's voice, hallelujah, as the Holy Ghost brings these words of John alive to us. And we'll go ahead and pick it up where we left off in the 14th verse of the first chapter. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now praise be to God. Let us notice the magnificence again of what is being emphasized here and always is the Word. The Word. The magnificence is the Word, and the Word, praise God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Praise the Lord, and we beheld His glory, the Word, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, the Word, full of grace and truth. The Word. This is all about the Word. And praise God, it's always going to be that way to us, brothers and sisters. Again, as God told us in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Amen? Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The Word. Christ the Word liveth in you. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, or the faith of the Word, who loved me and gave Himself for me. The Word. Praise His name. Oh, it's just beyond. See, it's never going to be by our natural sight. It's not going to be by our feelings, our gut intuition. It's always going to be the Word of God. And as we rejoiced on Sunday, that Word is always going to take you in the way that you think not. His ways, the Word's way, is not our ways. It's not. It won't ever be. It won't be natural man's way. If natural man had any inkling of godliness, the Lord would never have sent His Son. Completely dead in trespasses and sin is the natural man. It's the truth. It's how God set it up. It's going to be my Son, the Word. Now, how wonderful that it is all the Word. How wonderful that it says faith comes by hearing the Word. Amen? All by the Word. We live by faith. Faith in the Word, believing the Word. It's all again the Word. And God, hallelujah, has told us, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. But what is the Spirit going to say? The Word. Amen? How many times do we hear, well, God told me. Did the Word tell you? The Word. Amen. That's how God, praise His name, how He speaks to us. He speaks to us through the Word of God. And how wonderful, how beautiful that it is always His wondrous Word. And His Word was made flesh. And notice again, it's always in the capital, if you look at your verse, what's emphasized there, the Word. The Word was made flesh. Isn't that wonderful? And God chose the Word to be embodied in the lowest of vessels. And that vessel, praise be to God, we know, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. And I want to make a note about this. That word dwelt is so beautiful. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That word dwelt, it means a tent. I know many of you know that, and it's wonderful. But that's what's so beautiful here is Jesus came and dwelt in a tent. Now people say, well, Jesus didn't come and dwell in a tent. Oh, yes, he did. And I'm talking about this earthen vessel, just like you and me, we dwell in a tent. It's a tent. This is the dwelling. Hallelujah. Just like you and me. And what is so wonderful, what John is testifying here, the praise is not to the tent. The praise is not to what the tent looked like. As Isaiah 53:2 tells us, there was no beauty that we would desire him physically, the tent. We wouldn't. No. The beauty is the glory within. The beauty is the Word. The Word. Hallelujah. Hear him. But the tent, brothers and sisters, was very essential. And so essential was the tent, praise God, that Word that became flesh, that Word that was made flesh, that Word, praise God, that is God. If you go over to 1 John chapter 4, and we'll read verses 2 and 3, this is how important understanding and knowing that, again, he that has seen me has seen the Father, the deity of Jesus. In chapter 4 of 1 John, verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ, the Word, is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And that, this is that spirit of Antichrist. Now how many religions, and there's numerous religions, will acknowledge Jesus as a wonderful teacher, as a prophet, as a great speaker, preacher, all of these different things. But when we go to the point and the Word was God, that's the separation. And brothers and sisters, I am so thankful that I can confess and say with great thanksgiving, Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is of God. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah! And we thank him for this, and we thank the Lord that we believe he is divine, that the Word, praise God, made flesh, and that he is God. And if we don't accept that, if we reject that, then that is the spirit of Antichrist. You're either for me or you're against me. And you think, brothers and sisters, the glory, Jesus being made a man. The glory. Now, there's scoffers that'll say, oh, what do you mean, made a man? And he was made the lowest of man. And he was even born in a manger. And so weak, your God so weak, that they even took him and crucified him. No, this is the glory of that he was made a man. Because by being made a man, he could now die for us. By being made a man, now he could be made sin for us. By being made a man, praise be to God, and again through his death, hallelujah, he could be raised and seated together with the Father at his right hand. By me being made a man, he is touched with our infirmities. What a God. He didn't just, again, speak us into existence. Oh no, with his hands he formed us. With his mouth he breathed into us. And with his heart, with his love, he became sin for us. He became as one of us. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, we know this is not of man. But the wonder that the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, being made a man, the Lamb of God, one of us, praise his name. Now, what comfort as we begin to really accept that the Word is who he is to us. Not the tent, but the Word. And it's the Word that neither leaves us nor forsakes us. Amen? See, when I try to just visualize, in a sense, and I understand this because I've been there before. Well, you know, Jesus is with me. Well, I know that, and it's a wonderful thing. But how is he with me? The Word. You see what I'm saying? There's a difference there. It's not because of a picture on the wall. It's not because of an icon. It's not because of a fish on my car. It's not. It's because the blood, praise God, that's on my life. It's because now I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. And the very life of Christ, the very life of the Son, lives in us. That's why. I mean, think of that plan. Think of that plan. Who could devise that plan? God. Isn't that amazing? It's not just that, you know, he called his family or brought us into the family. We've been born, and we're born as sons of God. And the very same life, the one life, that's why the oneness that's in Christ is because it's his life. And God deals with us just the same, praise God, because it's the life of his Son. Praise his name. So see, brothers and sisters, it's the Word that doesn't leave us nor forsake us. It's the Word that is always nigh to us. It's the Word that always speaks to us, my sheep know my voice. Hear him, the Word. Praise God. And the Word, yes, as the Bible tells us, Jesus dwelt among us in that wonderful tent for 33 years on this earth. And praise be to God, here it all is. The Word. Hallelujah. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Praise God, the Word. See how much we need to know the Word of God? Aren't we inspired and encouraged? And that is the comfort of our lives, to know it more. And as I testified as we began, oh, how much I need the Word of God. And the much the more as we hear the Word of God, the more we need the Word of God. And praise his name, that it says here, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And what was the glory? The Word. And you think of this, brothers and sisters, this glory, in a sense, that we see had been hidden. But now to us, this glory, hallelujah, and even would become more apparent as the veil of the Holy of Holies would be rent in twain. And oh my, now we could come in to see the full glory of the Lord. Everything from and of the Father is in the Word. Everything. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ in the Word. Praise God. The vessel, Jesus, full of the glory, full of grace and truth. And that's essential, brothers and sisters, to grasp Jesus, the Word, full of grace and truth. Amen? Think a lot of different expressions of what the Word is. No, the Word is full of one thing, grace and truth. And I love that word full. It means filled up and covered in every part, nothing but grace and truth. Nothing but. It's all grace and truth. And that is exactly what the Word is to us, grace and truth. And without grace, we will never receive truth. A man can never receive truth without grace. Amen? We all begin as a Christian one way. For God so loved the world. Grace. That he gave his only begotten Son. Grace. He gave grace, his only begotten Son, truth, full of grace and truth. And it'll never be any way. It never changes. It's always that way to truth. It's always by grace. And this precious word is nothing but grace and truth. The Lord wants us, obviously, as he says, I would that all men be saved and come to a full knowledge of the truth. Amen. Well, in order to come to a full knowledge of the truth, it has to be the grace of God. It will come no other way. It's not by might. It's not by my strength. It's not by my wisdom. It's not by any other thing. It's going to be by the grace of God. And brothers and sisters, if we will apprehend grace, and that's why the Lord tells us he gives grace to the humble. Do you see how important it is for our lives to be humble? To understand that without him, I'm absolutely nothing. And as I go along in the things of Christ, he must increase and I must decrease even more. I must become more nothing because he is so everything. And that is the humility and the humbleness, praise be to God, that receives the grace of God that I grow in truth. If we really have a desire to go after him, if we really have a desire to suffer together with him, amen? If we really have a desire to jointly rule and reign together with him, if the desire is really the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, there is a cross for us. But that cross can never really be picked up till that self is denied. And that self is that humility, that humbleness, that truly that this is the privilege of all privileges of my whole life, is to follow you, Lord. Yes, there's sacrifices in it, but it's not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. So the privilege, the opportunity, the honor, the grace is not worthy to be compared with any sacrifice that we think we would ever make in going on with God. Amen. Who is he? He's the Lamb. Who is he? He's very God of very God. Who is he? He's the one that left the throne. Become that sacrifice. Why that plan, Father? Why that plan? It's so beautiful. It's so incredible. It so magnifies the beauty of the grace of your Son. Oh, Jesus, help me. I need to get through this. Praise his name. But see, everything from the Father is in the Word. And brothers and sisters, this verse that I just quoted, the verse that we quote often, the verse that's out there in front steps there in 2 Peter chapter 3, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is it, grace and truth. Jesus Christ, grace and full of grace and truth. This is the same thing. Grow in grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Truth. Isn't that wonderful? See, again, there's no veering from this. There's no other alternatives. There's no other place to go. This is the life that we now live. This is who we are. Praise God. Any other life that we're trying to live or thinking that we are is a lie. And that's the truth. You're born of God. You're his. And when you accepted him as your Savior, you died. And he, the Word, came to live in your life. And your life is the Word. Now, by the grace of God, what a good fight of faith it is to truly grow on in that and believe the Word of God. That I'm not defined by anything else in this life. I'm not. God has a perfect path. all of those things that are grabbing at me all my life, from my background to my successes, failures, whatever it is, it's pulling at me to try to make this define me. Cause me to be distracted, cause me to quit running. Cause me, I need to take it easy. Brothers and sisters, if we're here to follow Paul as he followed Christ, I have fought a good fight. He didn't say, well, this was a great ride. What a cheerio, skipping, huff and puff this was. He said, I've fought a good fight. And by fighting that good fight, I have finished my course. Oh, yes. And it's all because by the grace of God, I kept the faith. And now I hold, hallelujah, up the exalted rank of righteousness crown. That I want you to understand, as I am called and chosen to be the apostle to you Gentiles. Yes, me, the chief of sinner. So understand that too. But this wasn't given to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now, is it any wonder why God brings us in here? How could we not take that grace to run with that fully purposed heart? Praise God. Oh, yes. And I can run out of here and say, oh, Lord, it hurts so good. As I told my mom, is she suffering? I said, oh, Mama, this is spiritual battle. This is fighting, praise God, that the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm not trapped, I'm free. Whom he's made free is free indeed. Oh, praise his name. Now, see how important the word is? See how important the doctrine of the word is? See how important preach no other gospel the word is? See how important that it's all by the word of his grace is? How important spirit and truth, truth and love, everything and in all things are by and of the word. Praise his name. And I thank him for his faithfulness. We just keep on keeping on. Praise his name. Now, let's go on. More of the witness of John the Baptist. And remember, as we speak of this precious brother, John the Baptist, such a foreshadow and a type of the greatest witness of Christ, who is about, well, he's with you, and he shall be in you. That witness, the Holy Ghost. Amen? Praise God. And this is what's so wonderful that will come and lead us into all truth. But let's go ahead and back to John and let's read verses 15 through 18. And brothers and sisters, this is such, all of it, but this is such detail in here that needs to be encouraged. And God has slowed me down just a little bit, you know, taking the reins. Okay, come on now, son. But we'll giddy up and get a going. But we're going right now. Amen. John bare witness, 15th verse. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. There it is again. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. Oh, the very heart of God. Isn't that wonderful? The very heart of God, the intent of God, everything of God. This is our Jesus. Praise his name. He hath declared him. Praise his name. Now, it begins here. He that comes after me is before me. And what a statement with so much meaning. And that doesn't just mean that our Lord, as he told us earlier on, he always was Alpha Omega, beginning, end. But specifically, we're going back to, as he said, the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. The tent. Remember the tent? And we're going to read on, if the Lord tarry, in this same chapter, references of Moses and the wilderness. And that wilderness and Moses, praise God, will bring us to the thought and brings us to the thought of a tent that was known as a tabernacle. And praise be to God, the tabernacle in the wilderness, the place that God had shown to Moses that would be built, praise the Lord, and where, praise his name, God would meet with man. The tent? The place where God would meet with man? That was the tabernacle, did you know that? Oh yes. You'll read that in Exodus 25:8. That's why that was erected. It was where God was going to meet with man. The tent. The tabernacle. Now think of the tent that we just read about in the Word dwelt among us. Jesus is the only place that God can meet with man. For I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. Amen? Oh yes. As well, brothers and sisters, you think about the tabernacle in so many ways. But just to highlight, the tabernacle or the tent was where the sacrifice was made. Amen? Yeah, that tabernacle, that tent, can you imagine? That's where the law was kept. Aren't you thankful that Jesus Christ keeps all the law for us? Oh, yes. Praise his name. And thanks be to God. Oh, what a tabernacle he is. But see, in the fullness to all, as it goes on to say here, that fullness means completeness, nothing withheld. See, Christ, he is no respecter of person. As he said, I would all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. That's 1 Timothy 2:4. So it's there. You cannot deny it. Again, you have to reject it. Praise God. I even reveal myself in nature, he tells us. And he does. And we're thankful again for his faithfulness. Again, for God so loved the world. I thank the Lord that he loved me, but he loved the world. And he saw us in Christ. And that's what he gave. And he would that all men be saved. And that's why that fullness was for all to see. But why does it say then grace for grace? Well, we know because it's all by grace. And praise be to God, we need grace to apprehend more grace. Isn't that wonderful? And that's the truth. We need grace to apprehend more grace. We need grace, praise God, to believe God. Amen? And thanks be to God that the faith that we are given is his faith. It's of grace. And truth. Isn't that wonderful? Our precious Lord and Savior. That's why the Lord tells us, going over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So many of us know this, and I thank God. But let's believe this. It's great that you can quote it. But it's a lot better if you can believe it. You think? Amen? I'd rather know what it says than, well, you know, you didn't get the is or the you, but I know it's mine. And I know what he means. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Isn't that beautiful? Again, all grace. See, he's in the details. He's into making sure that he covers everything and beyond. But he says he's able to make all grace abound toward you. It's all there. And why? because it's the grace that causes you to have always having all sufficiency in all things may superabound to every good work. And those good works are the foreordained good works that ye should walk therein. And I don't believe that any step of God would ever not be a good work. How about you? So I think that really includes every step of my life. How about you? So that doesn't mean that it's just all of the good things of the ones that tell me about prospering and being in health. Those are all of God. But you know, those things that kind of hurt you or whatever, that's because you weren't believing God. Huh? Oh no. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Isn't that awful that people would get off of that? Because that's the whole thing. It's the grace of God. That's why every one of our brothers and sisters, and what a bunch of characters they are, and we are, but in the Word of God, showed us that He drew them nigh in their failures. Often, it had to be through their unbelief that truly He really showed Himself miraculously faithful. What a magnificent moment it was, but then it was all for gain. Thank the Lord. Not that I'm looking not to believe God, I want to believe Him always. And I want to believe Him the more all the time. But I'm going to tell you, this is the Word. And it doesn't matter what I think, this is the Word. And this is the way He does it. And brothers and sisters, in His faithfulness, He afflicts us. We're going to think that we're running so well and we're going to be just on top of a mountaintop and praising God. And oh my goodness, I have just really been walking with the Lord for, man, 2 years straight. And then, bang! Wow, I didn't see that coming. I thought my faith was so great, it couldn't even waver. Because I was looking something different than the rock that didn't move. And isn't that wonderful? Because He never moved. He never moved. Still in His hand, hallelujah. And thanks be to God that quickening, Lord, in Your faithfulness. Know these things. Be encouraged by the Word of God. See, that's the Word. See, man wants to magnify somehow our failures or unbelief. I'm talking Christian man. Oh, you're so bad. I'm not encouraging you to not believe God. I want you to believe God. But I want you to believe God in knowing, praise the Lord, that in His faithfulness, He's going to bring things in your life that are going to press you out of measure. That you're going to get out of your sweet spots of trusting God and you're going to come to a new place. God turns your kid from 15 to 16. Bam! That's a new place. Parents, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, I was trusting God with my kid, but there's no way I can do it now. Then you go through that and you think, well, and then, oh my goodness. And then there's other components that come in. Oh my. And that's when you just throw up your hands and say, oh, I just gotta trust You. You've been ministering this Word to me, but I never really believed it. I never really, really believed You. But now I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to completely lean, and how beautiful it is. But see, that's just it, brothers and sisters. That's the grace for grace. He keeps it coming. He keeps it flowing to us. It's never ending. And can you imagine? That's the one thing in the ages to come He speaks of. The one thing in the ages to come, the exceeding riches of My grace. And I can't even imagine. I can't. Lord, I see Your grace now. I see Your grace in Paul's gospel that the likes of me, the wicked man that I am, But yet, by your grace and truth and your transformating power to sit me in a throne with you, to rule and to reign jointly together with you, to be glorified together with you. And then now, son, you hadn't seen nothing yet. It's going to be the exceeding riches of my grace. Why are we so tied up and entangled in the affairs of this life? What do you think, huh? We're nuts. That's just not unbelief. That's just downright stupid. And I tell him that. I said, I'm really sorry, Lord. I was off there for a moment. Help me. And he does. But it's the truth, isn't it? Now, come on. See, it's all going to be, again, magnifying his unmerited love and favor to you. It's all it's ever going to magnify. It does it right now, and it's going to do that forever. The unmerited love and favor to you. To me. To you. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that magnificent?
Praise the Lord.
Huh? Yes. Yes. And it's never going to end. It's only going to increase. It's all because of my mercy and my undeserved love. The magnificence of it all is him who performs it and performed it freely for us. And brothers and sisters, he's supplied us, he's fortified us, such right now that we're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us, or through his grace. Amen? That we are completely and totally, here we are now, without excuse to not be ruling and reigning jointly together with him someday. Amen. Amen. What can I do for you, Lord? Just take that cup of salvation and drink. Paul said it like this: I can run, and I can run well by the grace of God. Amen. Let's go on back and hit verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And that's one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible. Because what it's doing here is it's contrasting law and grace. And first note that the law was given by Moses. But I want us to really make sure. But the law was from God. It was given by Moses, but the law was from God. And understand this, the law was truth. And make no doubt about that. But see, the law, brothers and sisters, was limited in that it could not save a man from sin. Was the law holy, just, and good? Yes. But the law could never justify a sinner. The law revealed God's justice, but the law had no mercy and grace. Amen. Even back in the Old Testament times, and I talk to Christians about this often, and they somehow think and or thought or were taught that Old Testament saints somehow were saved by keeping the law. There was only one man there's ever been. This one we read about that dwelt the tent, Jesus. He's the only one that kept it. Hallelujah. No other man did. So we understand that even it was the same back in the Old Testament times. The blood of the Lamb. The sacrifice. From the very beginning. When I see the blood, God said, I will pass over you. See, the only thing that the law brings or could bring is the knowledge of sin. Yes. Amen. That's why, see, where there is no law, there is no sin. Amen? If there wasn't a speed limit, I could never break the law driving my car. I could drive as fast as I want. But there's a law. And that law gives me that limit. It gives me that knowledge of when I'm going to break the law. Well, in this case, these commandments, yes, the ordinances made it very clear to us. It brought the knowledge of sin. But what a purpose in the law. Yes, the law entered that the offenses might abound. I love that. And I'm so sad that so few Christians know that. That the law magnified the wickedness of sin. The law's purpose was to magnify how wretched and ungodly we are but for Christ. Amen. How wonderful. It really exposed and proved how even the more dead we were in our trespasses and sin, and that the only saving was our Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, grace and truth. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. See, not like Moses gave, but Jesus, grace and truth, came. And why did it come by him? Because Jesus is grace and truth. There's no other grace and truth. There isn't. It's Jesus. It came by him out of the bosom of God. Amen? Yes, hallelujah. And see, without him, without the word, there is no grace and truth. He was the only one that could bring grace and truth to us. I love it how it says over here in Romans 8, if you go over to 3 and 4, it said, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. Isn't that so sad? See, people, I mean, in Romans all over the place, there's no flesh justified by the works of the law. Huh? Amen. I rejoice in that. And that doesn't ever encourage my heart, looking to the grace of God, to go out there and sin willfully that grace may abound. I always remember there was a sister in this church that told Brother Hill, he said, you shouldn't preach that grace stuff so much. These people are going to run around here like a bunch of nuts. Well, I'll tell you what. I pray if I preach grace the more, you'll even get more nutty for Jesus. Amen. And that's the truth. It's the praise. But see, it said, for what the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemns sin in the flesh. Oh, praise God, what Jesus, the Word made flesh, did. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And see, don't ever be confused about that. Well, that means I just got to walk right. No, get down to verse 9. He tells you real clear, so get your head on right. Get the mind of Christ. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. That's it. Does the Spirit of God dwell in you? Yes. The moment, praise be to God, you said, Jesus, I take you as my Savior. Done. Done. Isn't that wonderful? Done. And now we grow on. But yet how sad the condition of Christianity is today. Trying to magnify the law as something we need to live up to. Think of how many places you come into. And there they have the Ten Commandments just posted up there. Sometimes big letter print. Big. So you can see it. This is what we're about. You come in here and this is what you're going to see. Oh, yes, we're going to see exactly what the law always does. What does it do? It magnifies sin. I think I'd want to get away from that. You understand what I'm saying in that? I understand the law is beautiful as my Lord and Savior fulfilled it all for me. Praise God. And in that life that now lives in me, as I yield to him, he fulfills all of that for me. Amen? Amen. But see, somehow, we're going to live up to that. We're going to magnify the law instead of magnifying the blood of Jesus. How many places have kept up the commandments but taken all of the blood songs out of their hymnals? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So, that devil's pretty smart, isn't he? If I can get you away from the blood, I'm going to have you right where I want you. The simplicity of the gospel of Christ, the cherubim, the ones that represent the bride of Christ, they never have their eyes veering from the blood on the mercy seat. That's humility. That's the humble. Praise God. Praise God. How wonderful. But see, the law only magnifies man's unrighteousness. Just as it still does today when we try to claim it by merit. We claim it to merit favor with God. It only magnifies my self-righteousness. Instead of praising Jesus, full of grace and truth, who nailed it all to the cross. And matter of fact, was made the very righteousness of God to me. The only and all righteousness we'll ever need. The only and all righteousness there is. The very righteousness of God. And make it known as we leave this again. And I know we know this. But God, help us to fight the good fight of faith. We will never have law and truth together. You can't have the two. You can't. The only way to truth is by grace. There's no mixing of the two. It's either grace or it's works or it's spirit or it's flesh. And that's it. Praise be to God. Now, we'll close out with verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this concludes everything and really brings it all into focus of what John is saying about Jesus. Even though no man has seen God, Jesus, the only begotten Son of the Father, hath declared him. Hath declared him. And see, that word declared, we just think of it, oh yeah, Jesus came and spoke about him. Oh no, 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 no. That word declared is way beyond speaking about somebody. It means revealed. It means he unveiled him. But most of all, it means he displayed all the glory of the Father. When you saw him, when you see him, you see all the glory of the Father. And the very best part, matter of fact, the bosom. The very intent, the love, the passion. Yes, for in the face of Jesus is the glory of God. See, he embodied it all because he is all in all. And as we close this, this again speaks maybe why Moses only saw the back parts. Remember, Moses said, oh, I want to see your glory. I want to see your glory. But he could only see the back parts. Well, those back parts, and you can't even see the back parts with it, but see, that law causes you not to see the fullness of the glory of God. That's the truth. Such grace that we now live and abide in, brothers and sisters, and flourish in the fullness of his grace. Isn't it wonderful now? When we see him completely. When we see Jesus, praise God, in his face is everything. Everything. He who has seen me has seen the Father. Basically what he's saying, he who has seen me has seen everything. Matter of fact, he who's seen me doesn't even need to see anything else. Huh? Boy, in saying that, and those people looked at him, saying that, and these people today, they look at him. What's that Bible? What's that word? That's everything? Just like they said back then, he sure don't look like everything to me. Oh, there's no beauty there that I would behold him. There's no beauty there that life that you're living, sister, brother. That life of suffering, that doesn't look really pleasant or pretty to me. Huh? Do you see? There is no beauty that they would behold him. See, without the Spirit of God, you'll never see the beauty of the Word of God. You'll never see the beauty, the treasure, praise God, the glory, the Word. Isn't that something? Think about the theologians and the cerebrals that have taken the Word, studied it up and down, divided it as literature. all those different things, but have never seen anything of it. They look at it, but they're not looking at it. They have eyes and they see not, and they have ears and they hear not. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? The glory of God in the face of our Lord and Savior. But brothers and sisters, you see, when we set our gaze completely upon grace and truth, he who has seen me and has seen the Father, and all the glory of God in his face. And by the grace of God, may we only go after, and may we only see grace and truth. Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed.